We're live. It is Wednesday, May 15th, 2012, and this is a live prelude to the news, the interview, almost an hour long, I shot earlier, the huge news segment, incredible information dealing with the impeachment of Barack Obama for his treasonous wars he's launching. They are in there right now, editing that together. Now that's why we're doing InfoWars Nightly News in beta. So that we can get the crew, get the team. The problem is I add so much every night. They add so much. We're so passionate about the information that a lot of nights we don't get on at 7 o'clock. And before I can put this up on satellites and get all that set up, we've got to have the show done by like 6. But I appreciate all the PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers. Some nights the show's 2 hours. It's always over 30 minutes. And we're just bringing you so much hardcore information. This is really important info. Who else out there is delivering this type of research and information? I wish there were others, because it is lonely knowing just how big a threat we face and the fact that we're the best there is. Because we try hard, but we're just human. And I just wish I was doing more, and I wish I could do more for you. The good news is, tonight, this won't be covered in the news, but I'll cover it now here live with you. As they cut out all the clips of me running around the set like Yosemite Sam, we had a lot of problems and technical stuff tonight, is that I am hearing from activists all over the world, not just the United States, that they're going to be flooding in to Virginia in just 2 weeks from now, May 31st through the 4th, for Bilderberg 2012. I'm going to be there. Not for long. People won't let you hardly fly anymore with no fly list. They're shutting up highway checkpoints. We're driving via RV. But for now, we're still able to travel here in the captured United States with the re-education camps, the military trained to take on the American people. It's all confirmed. But for now, we're going to be able to still go in 2012 and confront the globalists and bring media attention on to them, something they absolutely don't want. They want you to think Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, Merkel, Hollande in France that are actually running things. These people are just shell-out whores that read off teleprompters, absolute enemies against their peoples, enemies against humanity, political mercenaries who are the enemies of everything good and decent. Now, these are parasites. They see you as scum. They try to dumb you down, poison your food and water, wreck your family so that they can perch on top of you and dominate you and parasitically feed on you. But Bilderberg 2012, I've in a gut feeling and also intellectually, is going to be like unlike any other. This is going to be big. And so I look forward to seeing you all there. So many people are telling me they're coming. We are change. And people like Mark Dice and folks from the Intel Hub and just hundreds and hundreds of other groups that are contacting us, people from overseas, they all say they're coming there. You know, the globalists do not want you to be there. And when you get there, I've protested it in the U.S. before, the police are very nice. Anywhere else, they're horrible and attack the First Amendment because they've been told to. They get promotions if they do, the more anti-American, anti-liberty they are. If you go to the G20 or NATO summit, they crack you on the head. They're already sound cannoning people at parks saying, it's a public safety thing. We're going to break your eardrums. You know, just tyranny is freedom. To let you know there's no First Amendment. Because those are just beta tests where the globalist minions are meeting. They use that, whether it's in Australia or England or Europe or the U.S. or Canada, as a beta test that we're all good slaves, like TSA groping your wife and children and slapping you around a little bit and robbing your bag. That's all part of your slave training. But when it's the real elitist meeting, they don't want that getting any attention. You got arms dealers, child kidnap smugglers, mega bankers. The head of the Bilderberg group had to step down a few years ago because he was connected to diamonds and guns and murders and scams. They're in there really making deals. And they are so angry. They used to have their corporate press tell people it didn't exist, and they'd say it doesn't exist. Doesn't matter how much footage we had. Now they have to admit it exists. They hate this. They don't want attention. So we're going to be there, and you're going to be there. I want thousands of people to be at Bilderberg 2012 in Chantilly, Virginia at the Westfields Marriott. We're going to have more press releases, more documentation. As everything comes to a head, as the quickening accelerates, we don't have one. We have two different sources, one close to Bilderberg, one within it. And we got their code name this year, the Palm Tree Conference. They've now changed the code name, but too late for them. So much is happening, and we're going to be there shining the light of truth on these cockroaches. We're going to be there breaking down what's really happening. It is so incredibly exciting. So I want to just let everybody know out there, we couldn't have done any of this without you. More importantly than subscribing to PrisonPlanet.tv, we have a 15-day free trial running right now. More importantly, just spread the word that the rebellion against tyranny has begun and that you are the resistance and that we're not going to lay down anymore to oppression and tyranny and the ninnying police state, the national security state that is the greatest security threat to free humanity. We are rediscovering liberty in 1776 worldwide, and that the spirit of freedom is growing and beating in every heart and breast, regardless of race, color, creed, ethnicity, gang, crew, whatever you call it. We want freedom. We want freedom for our children. And that paradigm is expanding. And when you set up tyranny and oppression next to liberty, liberty wins every time. And it's only when tyranny comes in, like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. You are the manifestation of that spirit, the spirit of freedom. And this is our time. This is the great battle that is just beginning to unfold. And our progeny will look back on their ancestors, that's us, and take examples from what we've done in the fights that they'll face. Because the fight between good and evil is eternal. All that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. And so today I ask you to reaffirm which side you're on and make that decision. Be hot or cold, don't be lukewarm, and stand up for freedom now. Now is the time. Now is the time to take action. Now is the time to get involved. Now is the time to speak out in little ways or in big ways. Little steps lead to bigger steps, lead to giant steps, lead to earth-crushing steps against the globalist. And do you have an article for me?
Oh, just got some new news.
Oh, some new news coming in. CNN hits lowest primetime demo at 9 p.m. in 15 years. Yeah, they're dying. We're exploding. Here's another one. U.S. ambassador to Israel. Plan to attack Iran ready. And they got all sorts of plans ready. And if you're not for starting new wars, well, you're just not patriotic. How FBI entrapment is inventing terrorists and letting bad guys off the hook. Well, they are the bad guys. They don't work for America. They work for the big banks. Here's another one. Burning banks. Greece on the brink of collapse as bank run hits Athens. London Telegraph. Police at Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s house. His wife, Mary, dead at 52. Police were called to the home of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in New York, where his wife, Mary Kennedy, found dead Wednesday. Wait a minute. Didn't she badmouth Obama like a day ago? What? A source says Mary committed suicide. Oh, God. Boy, he spoke out against vaccines. I guess they showed him. They always wait and get you later. Source says Mary committed suicide, but Radar Online has yet to confirm that. Yeah, you got to love when they kill Breitbart or somebody. They go, oh, heart attack or suicide. Oh, their body's not even cold yet. There's no source on that. Just all the media says suicide. Go back to sleep. You know the guy that wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning articles about the CIA caught dealing drugs, later confirmed? Oh, he shot himself twice in the head. Yeah, he talked to, you know, me, Alex Jones, a few months before that guys were breaking his house and stuff, and he was about to break big stuff. You know what? Just, you know, he committed suicide. Gary Webb committed suicide. And the D.C. madam said she wouldn't kill herself, but she was being threatened and, you know, hung herself at mommy's house. Hey, it's no big deal out in the shed. You know what? If they kill me, let's get this straight. They killed me. I will never commit suicide. I will never hurt my family. I don't use illegal drugs. I don't use prescription drugs. I might take an aspirin when I got a headache. Let's get that straight. Probably one reason I'm alive is I always point out I'm not going to kill myself. Unbelievable. This is a unattended death investigation. That means no one was there when the person died. Oh, my gosh. I tell you what. They can have a suicide note written in Crayola, and people will probably believe it. All right. We have an incredible news transmission lined up for you tonight. Maybe we should go to Aaron's report, because it got broken up on two on PrisonPlanet.tv and YouTube today, where he did this whole report on Bilderberg hacking the election and admitting they are through their little minions. But then it got broken in two, so when I saw it, it made any sense. I think we ought to just air that before we're ready, because what's the real ETA? No. What's the ETA? Should I keep going, or are we ready for the show? Yeah, I think we should go to Aaron's full report and then tonight's news. So I'm here live. It's 7-11. 7-11. And I'm not talking about the little food stores. That's what time it is. And we will go to that information. And I'll continue to be at the outpost of liberty, Infowars.com, until they shut us down or until we turn this around. But I am here from Spaceship Earth reporting for free beings everywhere. I just want to be free. I don't want to be a slave. I want a future for my species. And I am the bad man because I'm informed and involved and don't just watch sports all day and act trendy. But we are going to go to Aaron Dyke's report on Bilderberg hacking the election. I saw him. They had it pulled up earlier. And then we will go to the full nightly news. This is teleprompter free news. I should probably also add for everybody out there. And we're not a little glitter bugs on national TV with little info babes smacking their lips at you all day, like they care about you and love you while they look at the teleprompter. I just know that we have a criminal elite running things who have taken their psychopathic behavior and codified it into a religious scientific belief system called eugenics, and that we are under just unbelievable attack. Yeah, Marcos, there's no way you'd know about it when I just called for that. You just need John Bound. He queued it up in last night's news. Okay, great. I know I'm calling for stuff here on the fly, and this is not scripted. You know, I had an epiphany last night, and I know for you, you probably knew it already, but I always wondered why the government meme so they put out through their operatives at COINTELPRO was that I was a government operative or I was working for, you know, the Vatican Keeblers or, you know, criticizing Israel because I work for Israel or, you know, whatever they make up. And then they get little mockingbirds to repeat. I always wondered why the number one meme was, I'm not real. I'm a sellout. It's a fraud. And it's because for all of my problems, I'm a real person and love liberty. And it's so real and they understand that's what's valuable in this world. And so that's why they attack the fact that this is so real. And you know what? You're real. You know, watching, you love freedom. You know you're not an operative. Go out there and engage the New World Order. Go out there and get involved. Go out there and stand up for humanity. John's just bringing me article after article breaking. Military detention law blocked by New York judge. Oh, you mean they're going to secretly arrest U.S. citizens and put us in camps? I thought that didn't exist. I mean, we broke that. I mean, the Army admits the re-education camp plan's real, but it's not because we broke it because we're such a real news organization. Teleprompter free. Federal judge temporarily blocked enforcement of part of the National Defense Authorization Act. You got to get the Pulitzer Prize winning author on who's suing over that. Chris Hedges. No, I know it's Chris Hedges. I want him back on. I want him back. Oh, my God. Call him right now. We got to get him tomorrow. This is so great. Because under this law, he would go to prison. A federal judge temporarily blocked enforcement of part of the National Defense Authorization Act. The opponents claim, we don't claim, they admit they'll disappear into the night. They're raping kids at Abu Ghraib. They're not playing tiddlywinks here. Opponents claim would subject them to indefinite military. I love how if you say the sun came up this morning, they go, oh, well, you claim that, conspiracy theorist. They're counting on their readers at Bloomberg being dumb and not knowing the facts. So it's like, they claim, it's all right, they claim it. A federal judge temporarily blocked enforcement of a part of the National Defense Authorization Act that opponents claim would subject them to indefinite military detention for activities including news reporting and political activism. U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest in Manhattan today ruled in favor of a group of writers and activists who sued President Obama, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, who claims the U.N.'s our boss, and the Defense Department, claiming the provision of the act signed into law December 31st puts them in fear that they could be arrested and held by U.S. armed forces. It was filed by New York Times reporter Christopher Hedges. Wow, this is really good news. Bound, I like this. Hell, we ought to just do the show live every night. We do it sometimes. And then later have an edited version with graphics added. Maybe that's the answer. You know what I mean? And again, I want to be here. I want to be here for 10 hours. I told my wife, I'm going to be home early. I'm going to shoot the news early. She goes, I bought some mahi-mahi at the store. It's going to be ready for you. I called her after shooting most of the news at like 6:50. I said, oh, baby, I'll be late. You know, the kids will be in bed by the time we get home, but that's okay. And again, it's not that. It's just that my kids are getting big, and I never even see them, but I got to fight the tyranny, or there won't be a future for them. By the way, whenever we do these live parts, we always cut it out. Let's just upload this with a full show tonight. You know, after we stream it live, I want to make sure we just put this whole show up. You know what? It's good. It's good. There's so many of these live shows people never even see except for the subscribers that see it first. All right, let's go to Aaron's report that is so important and didn't get the attention it deserved last night. Then we'll go to the big, what is it, hour and 40-minute report, the Nightly News Tonight. How long is this big kahuna? Hour and 40 minutes. Okay, my dead reckoning. My good old boy Guts got it right. All right, we're going to go to this Aaron Dykes report, Bilderberg hacking the 2012 election. And then we'll go to the full news transmission. But I respect the fact that tens of thousands of our subscribers at PrisonPlanet.tv are waiting every night right at 7. And most nights we get it on at 7, a lot of nights. They complain and say it's not that it comes on sometimes at 7:30 or 7:15. It's that we don't know. We're sitting there. We get friends over to watch it. We're working on that. We can't launch this on television until it's ready. We're trying. We're trying to hire the crew. We're trying to make the money. I don't even want to sit here and grub for the money to pay for all this. Just support us with your subscriptions. We're going to do it all. You've got my commitment that the news is going to have to be done by like 6:30 in the future. I mean, we're shooting it right up to 7. So we then just run into this. But side issue, that's a report to you. Bilderberg's very exciting. It's in deep trouble this year. Citizen Air Force drones are going to be dealing with them, covering what's really happening. Covered on the radio today. Here's Aaron Dykes on Bilderberg hacking the 2012 elections. Call it Facebook's hacking them as well. Here it is.
We are back on the InfoWars Nightly News, and now for a little technology news. First, scientists have built a billion-dollar city where no one will live. It's in New Mexico, and it's basically a smart city for research scientists to look at things from intelligent traffic systems to next-generation wireless networks to automated washing machines, self-flushing toilets, and on and on. And you've heard about how they're going to use toasters to spy on you, your own television to spy on you. They're already using GPS and your car's black box technology to spy on you. Cell phones are basically spy tools, double-edged swords, of course, though. And all this is just going to be further tested in a city that's set to look like something out of the Jetsons, but with even fewer people in it. That's interesting. Also, a light-powered bionic eye has been invented to help restore sight. These are some of the good things they could use technology for, but of course, control is usually at the top of their list. Retinal implants stimulate nerves in the back of the eye, which has helped some patients to see. Early results of a trial in the UK mean two men have gone from being totally blind to being able to perceive light and even some shapes. However, fitting a chip behind the retina requires a battery fitted behind the ear and a cable to join the two together. I'm sure they're looking at ways to eliminate that hang-up. Also, in Detroit, not really a technology news, but an anti-gun news, a worker in Wayne County simply found a gun in the yard they were working at. It turned out to be stolen, and he's the one who got in trouble and fired from his job because the job didn't have a policy on what to do if he found a gun. They had a policy about not bringing guns, but this was totally different. In an area that's almost totally disarmed, they've got a victim freakout mode, I guess. And even if there's murders in Detroit and Wayne County, you can't expect the police to show up for hours, sometimes not till the next day. They've really got things backwards there. No wonder it's leading really the country for falling apart economically. But back to the Bilderberg topic, increasingly all the things we see on the internet, the positive sides of the revolution, the attempts to crack down, all seem to be spiraling around the group of elites that meet each year in a new location under their secret names in fancy five-star hotels. And it's part of, we see more and more, a larger web of control through groups like Facebook and other big tech people. So many of them have started attending this conference. And kind of nexusing with that, we have the article today from our contributor A.M. Freyed, Liars or Genius? Gaga, Zuckerberg, and Obama groomed from childhood for their roles. And this is all on the heels of Facebook launching its IPO this week. They are estimating they're going to be valued at over $100 billion. Lady Gaga went to Geek Camp 2. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Google's Sergey Brin are all alumni of the Center for Talented Youth at Johns Hopkins University. Similar programs also take place, such as the Duke Talent Identification Program and others. It's kind of a mix of people with gifts for mathematical, musical, technical things, and people who just have important elite family members and how they prepare them for their role in the New World Order. In particular, this is interesting with Zuckerberg. Anne Freyad writes, it's likely these are all lies of sorts. Zuckerberg is no genius mogul, and Facebook is more a U.S. intelligence asset than a functioning business. It's a simple formula. The power elite that wants to run the world has increasingly integrated a seamless network of testing throughout the web to help develop and identify top human youngsters, those who are symbolically facile, even verbally adept, without the additional burden of deep thinking. That's right. They want to control their little pet geniuses. It's a kind of organized crime approach to the cultivating of talent. After making their selections, elite handlers begin to make the pitch. The quid pro quo is surely obvious, and monarch programs and other forms of mind control are not necessary. Most, like Zuckerberg, acquiesce willingly and do whatever is required. Of course, many of these young people mature late in mathematics. Capability is not the only kind of creativity they hold. This is not an issue to the top elites. They apparently wish to select for numerical facilities, music, language, math skills, because the owners of such talents are more likely to be linear in their thought rather than holistic thinkers. The idea is to present geniuses with outward dazzling skills, but little in the way of insight or determination to investigate the realities of the larger picture. And that larger picture is coming together when you begin to study who is it that attends the Bilderberg meeting? What is their agenda? What are their related agendas? What are their conflicts of interest? We're going to get into some of that today. And throughout it, they're going to be revealing just some of the technical people who've attended Bilderberg just over the past few years. Bill Gates, probably the most notable, the already most deeply steeped in evil. But others are being brought onto this platform. And what really is at Bilderberg, just the larger cartel. That's really what they are. There's the one company. They include the NSA. They include the CIA. They include all the political fronts. And they control a great deal of the industry, the technical stuff, and a whole lot more. Now, we've heard this week about how a judge refuses to reveal the ties between the NSA and Google. We're not supposed to know that they're spying on us or that they're working together or that Google was basically launched as a front for the NSA, CIA, and related interests. But that's all coming out. And you see Eric Schmidt attending annually at Bilderberg. He got confronted last year. And it's kind of funny, too. He thought that people wouldn't know how to speak English just because they're in Europe, but they did. He got shouted at. He didn't like it. They even had some of the videos pulled from YouTube of people confronting Eric Schmidt and the other Bilderberg attendees who got caught walking down the sidewalk. Very interesting. But back to Facebook. This week, they're in the news, of course, because the IPO is about to happen. They're about to be declared as a $100 billion company, really topping anything Bill Gates did or any of these other newfound billionaires, because it's part of that larger myth of wealth. Those who have the wealth are supposedly in control. Therefore, they associate with the elite. Therefore, they pull the strings. Therefore, it's not surprising to find them influencing this and that in social media and online and our new reality, what's considered the mainstream culture they're always trying to sell. And so you see Eduardo Saverin wanting to leave the country, wanting to renounce his citizenship, but of course cash in on that IPO. Now, this guy Eduardo Saverin was the initial funder for Facebook when it was only tens of thousands of dollars. He was at Harvard, ran with Zuckerberg and the other founders who were all roommates there, but they didn't really like his style and they tried to push him out of the company and snag some of his different holdings, but he got it back through a lawsuit and now he has the money. But there's an interesting clip I want to play here from the movie The Social Network that'll tie us to our main focus in this piece, which is Sean Parker, the first president of Facebook, also the first launcher of Napster, which disrupted the web, and someone who looks to be an overall agent of disruption. Let's roll that clip right now.
$1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool?
You?
$1 billion.
So $1 billion, that's what's cool. When Eduardo Severin wanted to sell off the company for a little over $1 million, people like Sean Parker convinced them to keep going forward and try to make Facebook a truly huge company. Now, the real truth is these people are just fronts for larger entities. We've seen in the past how the Rockefeller Corporation and other big entities had to break up Standard Oil, had to break up AT&T, had to break up IBM, and other true monopolies of the early part of the 20th century. They spun them, sold them, put them in side companies, but it turned out that all along, control was basically with the same important people. And you see at the same time how John D. Rockefeller was himself an icon for that robber baron wealth of the early part of the 20th century. In the 21st century, in the rise of technology and the takeover of operating systems, Bill Gates was a major icon for that. And you see how much he has pushed the New World Order agenda himself, meeting very often at Bilderberg meetings along with his father and his wife and other counterparts of Microsoft and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But now that too has to grow. Companies like Facebook have to transplant the success of Microsoft. They have to top what's already been done. So now it has to be a $100 billion company. What does that money really mean? What's it based in? It doesn't matter, but they're going to be selling these new Silicon Valley figures as our saviors, as the rightful elites to control things. And that's why you see people like Sean Parker, the founders, including Zuckerberg, of Facebook being glorified, movies made about them. Again, you just saw the clip from The Social Network where he says $1 million isn't cool, $1 billion, that's what's cool. But actually, he said $1 billion isn't cool. Sean Parker, $1 billion isn't cool. In the Huffington Post, one of the film's sequences involves the Parker character telling the young Facebook co-founders, $1 million isn't cool, you know it's cool, $1 billion. The real life Parker has a different take on wealth. It's not cool, he said, of $1 billion. I think being a wealthy member of the establishment is the antithesis of cool, he added, saying being a counterculture revolutionary is cool. So the extent that you're made $1 billion, you probably become uncool. Well, Sean Parker, you become uncool. We have you on video attending Bilderberg in 2010, giving the victory sign, so cool, like $1 billion cool. Alex found out when I was telling him about some of the research that I do every year on Bilderberg, looking up members from the attendees list, finding out what they're up to lately. And he realized he met Sean Parker just a few months ago at a party during the South by Southwest meeting, and how crazy he was, how strange, and seemed hype up on something. We don't know what was going on. He was juggling apples and talking intently in people's faces and acting real weird, and a bunch of hangers-on were gloating about his billions and how he was about to cash in for even more when the IPO of Facebook went through. And it's just all very strange, the worship around this guy who didn't like his portrayal in The Social Network as a drug-induced playboy who's kind of wielding these new technologies. And yet, when Alex met him at the party, it really seemed like maybe he did fit this kind of super egotistical character, really reveling in his connections and wealth and total trendiness. He was there at South by Southwest appearing with Al Gore, talking about how SOAP is bad and how they have to hack democracy and use social media to take over voting. And they've got all these new companies. We're about to get to that. But this guy has really made himself involved, and particularly in the Bilderberg, through his connection with Peter Thiel, who's now on the Bilderberg Steering Committee and has invited so many of the founders of Facebook and other key technology companies to that elite summit. Let's roll some of those members right now. And you see just some of the invitees from the 2011 list there in detail. Craig J. Mundy, who's the chief research and strategy officer for Microsoft. But let's go back to the where they show their names and faces, and we can talk about the gathering they brought together to discuss things like the future of privacy on the internet, the future of cybersecurity. There's Peter Thiel. He runs Clarium Capital. He was also the first founder of PayPal and their CEO, and he was the first major funder of Facebook. He provided the first $500,000 that would eventually turn Facebook into a multi-billion-dollar company. Next, we have Mark Zuckerberg. He and his sister were rumored to attend the Bilderberg meeting last year in St. Moritz. We can't confirm that directly, but the New American did write on the topic and said they had a meeting basically about how they learned to love the end of privacy, to accept all the NSA back doors to Facebook and the other super technology. And you remember, it was only in the past months where it turned out Zuckerberg had referred to the early Facebook members as dumb effers for giving all their data away. And of course, he was going to use that data. You saw people like Eric Schmidt laughing about how you shouldn't do anything on the internet you don't want to do in public, and on and on. And his sister has also made a lot of outspoken comments about what a joke privacy was. And apparently they had a big confab at Bilderberg last year over the Facebook issue in particular and the future of online privacy. And it makes a lot of sense because they had at least four or five funders or key members or founders of Facebook there. We don't know if the Zuckerberg family themselves showed up, but it would certainly fit with the other information. But we know other people showed up and were on their official list. Of course, each year there are many people not on the official list. This is Chris Hughes, a co-founder of Facebook, and he was also credited as being the kid who made Obama president. How? Through social media. And we're about to get even more into that, but he helped get the list together in a 21st century high-tech way to really connect with people who might vote for the president, who might raise money for him, or who might just spread the trendy word about him. You also saw Jeff Bezos. He's the CEO of Amazon. He was at Bilderberg last year. He's running, of course, with the Peter Thiel crowd because Peter Thiel runs Clarium Capital. He runs Sequoia Capital. They run the Founders Fund. All these are important hedge fund and other funding mechanisms that decide which projects live and which projects die, which projects are going to become a multi-billion dollar company and which projects are just going to be prototypes for someone else to take over. You really see that going on Silicon Valley now, and they make up basically about 20% of the NASDAQ index, and that means a lot of our GDP, but it's more than just dollars. It's the what is going to be the reach of social media? How impactful will they be on socially engineering society, something the elites have been working on for over 100 years. Let's go back to that list and finish off the attendees. You also saw the CEO of LinkedIn, who is also one of the Facebook founders. His name is Reid Hoffman. And then after that, you have, I think there's one other guy in there. But the point is, all these tech geeks came together at Bilderberg. The question is why. And of course, Sean Parker of Napster, the first president of Facebook, he wasn't there last year, but the past year. The point is they're there every year. Again, Peter Thiel is on the steering committee of Bilderberg and runs a lot of the finance operations of Silicon Valley. Such an important connection there. But it gets even more interesting because Sean Parker calls himself a disruptor. Forbes has the headline, Sean Parker, Agent of Disruption. Who is he? He is basically an early teen genius who learned to hack when he was just 14, 15 some odd years old, started his own companies while he was still in high school, got around some of the high school requirements so he could start doing some of his online money making. And then in Virginia, where he went to high school at none other than Chantilly High School, right over there where the Bilderberg meeting's about to be, he won the state computer science fair for developing a web crawler and was recruited by the CIA at age 16. Sean Parker, CIA, Agent of Disruption. And so is all this stuff with privacy shapes. You've got also attendees at the Bilderberg meeting, including Christine Varney, the former Obama U.S. Assistant Attorney General for Antitrust Division, now working for the tech companies to guard privacy. You've got Google in an antitrust probe, and all this stuff is building through a crescendo while Sean Parker says it's time to disrupt the elections. He says defeating SOPA was the nerd spring, the thing him and Al Gore called for at South by Southwest and in the months previous leading up to it, using the name playing off of the Arab Spring. You've got headlines here like Votison, social voting ready to disrupt the 2012 presidential election. You've got headlines like Sean Parker, this election, social media will determine the outcome. and it all adds together. You've got Sean Parker in this article, five interesting things Sean Parker said yesterday. He says, politics, for me, is the most obvious area to be disrupted by the web. Campaigns themselves and all forms of special interest groups and PACs are driven by huge amounts of cash. If you're a PAC, you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to mobilize single-issue voters. Taking money out of politics with campaigns is possible through social media. Like with all the other groups, they're spending a fortune basically for maintaining a mailing list, and that can be done basically for free using online tools. There's huge potential for disruption. So there he is using the term disruption in the context of steering the elections, of hacking the elections through social media. And they're all meeting at Bilderberg, especially last year, but in the years to come, we'll see how many of them show up this year. Now, this entity right here, Votacin, it's one of their little side projects. It connects back to Peter Thiel. It connects back to Sean Parker. It connects back to Chris Hughes and, of course, other allies and, of course, many celebrities. They're all funded by the same basic groups, Clarium Capital, Sequoia, and especially the Founders Fund, which Sean Parker now heads. Chris Hughes, who's one of the key Facebook co-founders, was credited in 2008 with helping to get President Obama elected. Here's the headline right here, how Chris Hughes helped launch Facebook and the Barack Obama campaign. And it goes on about what a great supporter Obama was, but especially how he used social media, and in particular the site mybarackobama.com, to connect supporters and spread support and basically get the community organizing going on. But Peter Thiel, as you know, has been reported as a major libertarian thinker and a supporter of Ron Paul. Why would someone like Peter Thiel, who goes to the Bilderberg meeting every year, back someone like Ron Paul, who wants to break down the system? Well, look at the fact that Ron Paul has the only true viral internet campaign. That's the only candidate. You don't see a viral campaign for Newt Gingrich. You don't see it for Romney. You see it to a certain extent for Obama, but a lot of that is AstroTurf. Ron Paul has the true body of supporters, and what do they want? They want that data. They want to back people like Ron Paul so they can steer the social media data. They want to run it through all their sites from LinkedIn to Facebook and on, and they want to steer it, study it, and learn how they can use it in the future to truly hack elections. We're not talking about voting machine fraud, although that's still on the table. We're talking about steering the supporters to vote for who the system wants you to vote for. Ron Paul's an experiment. They're not concerned about the candidates in this cycle in particular. They're concerned about latching on to the proper trends for the real future. And so after he did Napster, but before he got to the Facebook and cybersecurity elements, he also had the company Plaxo, which was basically a viral online address book that worked alongside of and companionship with Microsoft's Outlook. And according to what I read about it, it basically would download onto users' computers, steal their contacts, and contact all those people to try to get them to join the network. Now, this tech company didn't really take off, and Sean Parker got kicked out of it, but they use the basis for the technology in the future successful companies, and that's just what they do. They seed all these companies, they see what grows, and they use the lessons they learn to build the projects that actually take off. And again, they're all front men for the larger cartel system that includes the NSA mechanisms and all the rest of it. They're running things, and they're using these tech geeks as the new heroes of wealth and power for this new age, and we must refuse them. You saw how cool Sean Parker thinks he is, not only with his billions, but waving to people from the Bilderberg car, really thinks he's made it. He's just another tool of the system. You don't have that coolness once you sell out to the cartel, Sean Parker. We'll be back after this with Yuri Masson and more on the World Bank's disgusting population control coercive methods after this.
It's Wednesday, the 16th day of May, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, Panetta subverts Congress again. And this time, he claims the president has the authority to override Congress's exclusive power to declare war if some vital interest is at stake. Then, the Greek banking system is in danger of collapse as $894 million is withdrawn in a single day. Is this the beginning of a run on banks? Plus, Barack Obama is head over heels for Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan Chase. And speaking of the devil, Paul Harvey predicts the future. Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News.
First off tonight, the World Wildlife Fund has put out a public press release saying global poverty is good to cut our evil carbon dioxide footprint that plants breathe. And the only way to save the world and cut population is to cut off people's power. Funny, though, the World Wildlife Fund's own study, when they were first founded by the Nazi Prince Bernhard along with Prince Philip, was that if they industrialized the third world, people would actually have less children. But they don't care. They'd rather you have 10 children in squalid poverty so they can lord over you. This is economic warfare. That article with links to their own admissions is at InfoWars.com. Speaking of austerity, the globalists want their post-industrial world. Over 90% of the debt owed in Greece, Ireland, Iceland, it's all come out in the news, is not owed by the people. Their traitorous government officials, formerly servants, signed on to Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and others' derivatives fraud and are saying the people have to prop up the too big to fail. But that was a few years ago when they signed on to those deals. We forget now. The media tells us it's our debt. Yeah, because we signed on to their too big to fail to prop them up so the very bankers that did this can lecture us all day. The globalist deindustrialization program, the post-industrial world they want, so we're all poor under their control, is working quite nicely. The Europeans are starting to wake up, though, to the fact that in Iceland, Ireland, Greece, and other areas, over 90% of the debt, again, is derivatives that they don't owe. They're just being signed onto it. And now the Greeks are revolting, saying you're raising our taxes, cutting our benefits to pay foreign banks. And here it is. The bank runs in Greece will soon be followed by bank runs in other European nations. The economic collapse wrote, and I hope that's not the case, but we're already seeing some of that happening in Italy because all of these countries have signed on to the globalist fraud machine. Here's another one. Greeks withdraw nearly $1 billion from local banks, giant lines, because the rumors are they're going to devalue the currency and go off of the euro. Here's another. Italian bank shaken as economic slump deepens. The bankers have got them just where they want them unless they wake up and say no. Here's another one out of Bloomberg. Euro economy to sink as Spain, Italy re-enter recession. They never left the recession. They're in a globalist depression. Areas of Spain have got 35% unemployment. They're telling us our economy's great. Those of us living in the real world know it's not. Again, how much BS are we going to swallow? Here's the London Telegraph. Greece is on the brink of collapse. It's all right there in living color. Now, continuing on to what's happening in the United States, Alternet reports death by foreclosure. It's happening all the time. Desperate man commits suicide after Wells Fargo steals his home. Yeah, a lot of U.S. troops who can't get a living wage, they commit suicide at record numbers. And most often they write suicide notes. I've seen it reported. So I have read that they say that it's because they couldn't pay their bills. They couldn't pay for their house and were serving four, five, six tours. But when they die, for years, money's taken out of their check for a death benefit. That came out 3 years ago. The government made a deal with the big insurance companies to not pay their wives or husbands the money. That's patriotism, though. If you're not for taking the dead troops' death benefits, you are with Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, as the bankers rape Europe and the rest of the world, Jamie Dimon says losing $2 billion is no big deal. It's an accounting manipulation, which it actually is, and goes on to imply that he's the source of all of our prosperity. Actually, we're having our taxes raised to pay off the derivatives this criminal created. And Obama is saying, though, that he's one of the best bankers out there. Yeah, because he is openly financing his campaign. But even the LA Times went on to point out they're doing stuff that just 12 years ago was illegal, and it's all part of the giant casino that has become the stock market and all this derivatives crud they've been shelling. Kurt Nemo has a report on it. Obama, head over heels for Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, this takes us to a piece from 1993 that was put together by a great patriot, Paul Harvey, with the rest of the story, where he talked about if I was the devil, what the devil would do to undermine our society so that we would know right from wrong, up from down, and would be rudderless so we could be enslaved and taken control of. And you look at this today, it is basically prophetic. So here is this piece.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And there is Paul Harvey, dead for 3-4 years, but still echoing through the halls of our minds. And again, they sell evil like it's sexy and fun, but once you've been involved in it, you realize it leads nowhere. If I was the devil, I would genetically engineer food to add sterilants to it so people would never know what was killing them. And I'd make the poison only take effect for 2 or 3 generations, so there'd be no way to resist or know who had done it. I'd soft kill the population. If I was the devil, I'd put sodium fluoride that creates a 7 to 8 times increase in bone cancer in men. If I was the devil, I would chemtrail the skies and change our weather. If I was the devil, I'd try to... If I were the devil, I would want to set up a world government and destroy all nation states so that nobody could organize against my evil. I get rid of the family. I get rid of the love of discovery. I would turn people into Kim Kardashian mindless idiots watching mainstream television. So again, whether the devil is a real entity or not, it might as well be the devil, because we've allowed the worst, most manipulative people to control our planet, and they are wrecking our species' chances to go to the stars. Now, the bankers that have hijacked the nation and broken up our families want to make sure we can't resist, so they've trained the police to get rid of the Bill of Rights and Constitution to fight Al-Qaeda, but now they're saying, oh, actually, it's people that want freedom. They're the terrorists. And all over the country, this article from Infowars.com is out of Florida, the police are getting ballistic shields, these big armored shields, so that they can protect themselves from the public, all part of the 450 million hollow points that the feds have bought to wage war against the American people, while the bankers sit offshore and laugh as we kill each other. But continuing here, private contractor criminal torture cases given go-ahead by federal court. That's by AllGov. And the funny thing about this is, Bush brags in public memos, John Yoo that wrote the memos has been given immunity, that they ordered torture, including rape of children, crushing of genitals, things like that, in front of their parents. But then the people that did all this when they got caught are going to prison. And the prosecutions are ongoing. So all of you out there that serve this evil, remember, you'll be hung out to dry. And then last year, Bush comes out with a book and goes, I ordered torture. And I'll do it again. Ha ha. So there you have it. Now, I take you, my friends, to the last article before we go to break and come back with our guest. House members grill Panetta on Syria and the Constitution. That was the headline. And I didn't learn about this until 3 weeks later. I had Congressman Walter Jones on from North Carolina today, and he's got the resolution in there trying to get it out to the full floor of the House that if Obama launches another war like Libya and says the UN is the boss of this country, that they will trigger impeachment hearings because it's constitutional that the Congress has got to declare war or give authorization. And presidents have ignored this for a while, but to say, oh, I get the authority from the UN, that's treasonous. And so he needs everybody's support to make sure that this resolution goes forward. But 2 months ago, it did make the news that Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, told the Senate, hey, we go to foreign countries to decide if we're going to war. We don't need to go to Congress. And Senator Sessions flipped out. Well, it turns out that a month later, in the House, they had hearings. We've got some clips, little internet clips of that coming up. But first, here is the original clip that actually got attention. Now that this is ongoing, then there's a media blackout because they're afraid that we'll actually enforce the Constitution and Bill of Rights. It's all part of our teleprompter-free news. Here is the clip from 2 months ago. Then we'll give you the new clips.
We worried about international legal basis, but nobody worried about the fundamental constitutional legal basis that this Congress has over war. We were not asked stunningly in direct violation of the War Powers Act, whether or not you believe it's constitution. It certainly didn't comply with it. We spent our time worrying about the UN, the Arab League, NATO, and too little time, in my opinion, worrying about the elected representatives of the United States. Do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is, we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree, you've served in the Congress?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that that's would be pretty breathtaking to the average American? So would you like to clarify that?
But I've also served with Republican presidents and Democratic presidents.
All right, that's enough. Shut him up. We played the clip over and over again. It's at InfoWars.com. You'll see the full thing. It went on for like 10 more minutes going, no, we get the authority from the UN. The UN's the boss. You sit down and shut up. And the generals are nodding their head. Hey, this is their country. They got the weapons like a third world nation. They run things. They're El Jefe. Okay? Now, that got some attention. But now Walter Jones, Congressman Jones from North Carolina, and Congressman Forbes from Virginia, they bring up the same points, and Alex Jones, I didn't know about this. My crew didn't know about this for over 3 weeks. I had Congressman Jones on for an update and learned that he had confronted him over 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. Here is a series of those clips. This is big news. The alternative media, the real media, the resistance to tyranny. We've got to get this report out to everybody. Here it is.
Mr. Secretary, if the situation changes and you believe the use of force in Syria becomes necessary, will this administration seek authorization from Congress before taking action?
We will clearly work with Congress if it comes to the issue of the use of force. I think this administration wants to work within the war powers provision.
I continue, the American people.
Hit pause. Back it up. This is amazing. So he's gone from saying, if we want to, we'll come to Congress. You know, if I feel like it, I'll ask before I come into your bedroom at night and rape you. If I feel like it. To like, the president thinks he might want to work within the war powers if he feels like it. So the point is, they're being brought to heel right now because what they're doing is illegal. They'll tell you having a family is a privilege next. They already tell you driving is. It isn't, by the way. Or having a gun is. I mean, there's nothing these crooks won't do, but this is good news. They're actually being brought to heel. But later they weasel back in. Let's go back to it.
We will clearly work with Congress if it comes to the issue of the use of force. I think this administration wants to work within the war powers provision.
I continue, and the American people seem to agree that we in Congress have not exerted our constitutional responsibilities when it comes to war. And I hope that if there is a decision, including Iran as well as Syria, if a decision is made to commit American forces, that the president would feel an obligation to the American people. And again, I'm talking about a situation where we're not being attacked. We just see things happening in other countries that we don't approve of. And I would hope, and I think you did give me this answer, but if you would reaffirm that if we have to use military force, we're going to initiate that force, was it going to be our initiation that causes that force, that the president, any president, would come to Congress and the American people and justify the need to attack?
As you understand, this president, as other presidents, will operate pursuant to the Constitution. The Constitution makes clear that the commander-in-chief should act when the vital interests of this country are in jeopardy. I believe this president believes that if that, in fact, is the case, he would do that in partnership with the Congress in terms of taking any action.
Well, on make another statement, then I work toward a close, Mr. Chairman. I remember my good friend Randy Forbes from Virginia asked Secretary Gates when we went in, and it seemed like the administration, if they called the leadership of the House and Senate, must have been one call each House, each Senate. And Mr. Forbes asked Mr. Gates, if the Libyans fired missiles into New York City, would that be an act of war? And I'll have to say, because my friend from Virginia is a very articulate and very intelligent gentleman, that he never got a straight answer. So I hope that you will prevail upon the administration not to take those kind of actions as they did in Libya, whether it was justified or not. I won't get into that debate, but it, in my opinion, that was really kind of a snub of Congress and the responsibility of Congress based on the Constitution.
Congressman, what I can assure you of is that as long as I am Secretary, we won't take any action without proper legal authority.
Mr. Secretary.
And again, that's some jumpy video we downloaded off C-SPAN. We didn't edit that. It's just jumpy. The point is, they're being brought to heel to a certain extent, but there were provisos in there. Well, president's authorized to protect us. Oh, so NATO can go put Al-Qaeda in charge of Libya or Syria? Now, here is Congressman Forbes of Virginia asking Panetta what's going on.
But as I read the War Powers Act, it has those three requirements. Are there any other requirements in there that you're familiar with that I'm leaving out or not reading? If that's the case, then, again, I just come back to if there's no declaration of war, no attack upon the United States, and if we're going to comply with the War Powers Act, would that require specific statutory authority by Congress before we took military action on Syria?
No, again, under the Constitution, as I indicated, Commander-in-Chief has the authority to take action that involves the vital interests of this country, but then pursuant to the War Powers Act, we would have to take steps to get congressional approval, and that's the process that we would follow.
You'd have to take steps to get that approval, but would the approval be required before you would take military action against Syria?
As I understand the Constitution and the power of the president, that the president could, in fact, deploy forces if he had to, and if our vital interests were at stake, but that ultimately then under the War Powers Act, we would have to come here for your support.
So you get the support of Congress after you began military operations?
In that particular situation, yes.
And then just one last thing, and make sure I'm stating this correctly. It's your position that the administration's position would be that we'd have to get a consensus of permission from the international community before we'd act, but that we wouldn't have to get specific statutory authority from Congress before we would act.
Well, I think in that situation, if international action is taken pursuant to a Security Council resolution or under our treaty obligations with regards to NATO, that obviously we would participate with the international community. But then ultimately, the Congress of the United States, pursuant to its powers of the purse, would be able to determine whether or not that action is appropriate or not.
So as you can see, they're still saying some of the treasonous stuff, but have backed off a bit because they know this legislation has been introduced to begin impeachment of Obama, says the UN is his boss and he can launch any war he wants and Congress should sit down and shut up. We have power when we point out the criminality that's taking place. Since we gave you a Paul Harvey radio broadcast from the past earlier, I thought we'd have a Paul Harvey quote to take us out to break. If pro is the opposite of con, what is the opposite of progress? Paul Harvey, I guess the answer would be Congress. We're going to go to break and come back and break down what the no-fly list is really all about. Over 2 million Americans are on the list. Soon you won't have a job, won't have a car, won't be allowed outside your house unless the TSA and the feds say you're a good little minion. There's no more courts in America. There's a bunch of federal agents that work for foreign banks ruling this country. The true dark side of the New World Order coming up after this break.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt. Or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
And welcome back to this special edition of InfoWars Nightly News. We're continuing to focus on the takeover by the bureaucratic army of the New World Order, known as the TSA, who are now on highways at checkpoints, groping the American people. The new handshake in America is a pot-bellied federal agent who's not even a sworn peace officer trying to grope your wife and children. It is off the charts. If they made back in the 60s a Twilight Zone episode where in a future America your wife and children get groped, no one would believe it. And all for the phantom menace of Al-Qaeda, who they admit works for the CIA and taking down Libya and now blowing up police stations in Syria. And the U.S. ambassador just last week to the U.N., Ms. Rice, said, Assad step down or we will blow up more of your government buildings with Al-Qaeda. I've got to give my rights up and have some pervert molest my wife and children. That's why I won't fly, but now they're on the highway, because of an Al-Qaeda threat that's totally manufactured. Even the New York Times admits all these FBI stings have been manufactured. They go out and find mentally ill people, schizophrenics, the white supremacist in Florida last week, same deal, and they get them a bunch of money to just shoot their mouth off when they're drunk. Or they find mentally retarded Muslims and get them to do it. I mean, or mentally ill prisoners. This is insane. It's a synthetic, made-up threat to destroy our liberties. You've heard about, just the last week, 18-month-old being on a no-fly list and a SWAT team waiting and going, no, he may be a terrorist because the computer says so. They put you on a computer, you disappear. Look, everybody overuses the Nazi Germany analogy to tyranny. But in Nazi Germany, first they curtailed how you could travel with your papers. Then they said if you could have a business or not. Then they said you got to live in a ghetto. Then they said we're taking you away to a labor camp where you'll be safe. Same thing in Soviet Russia. Same thing in Maoist China. Under these no-fly lists that we're about to examine in depth, they're on record. Well, I mean, take constitutional lawyer Boyle, who we've had on, who helped write U.S. treaties and who's, you know, represented heads of state. They wanted him to spy on his Muslim clients, which is illegal, as their lawyer. And they put him on a no-fly list. Okay? This is what's happened. And you've heard Rahm Emanuel and others say, we're going to put you on a no-gun-buy list. No judge, no jury, no nothing. You just try to go buy a gun. You're a law-abiding citizen. You can't get one. This is the bureaucracy under national security. This is the cashless society. And the TSA has said, you're not going to get a job unless they say you can. They've said they're going to control every facet of our lives, and they're phasing it in. America's now getting streetlights put in with taxpayer money that listen to you and watch you beyond 1984. The government, as our founders stated, is the greatest security threat. It's always been. Governments killed 262 million people who are in the University of Hawaii study in non-military action in the 20th century. They've already killed over 10 million this century. It's called democide. So again, the war on terror is a hoax, a fraud. I wanted to break down some examples of this, because our guest who's recently been on CNN is Abe Maschel. He's an honorably discharged Marine Corps veteran. He owns Marine Corps dog training and a nonprofit company called Always Faithful that gives free service and therapy dogs to disabled veterans. Wow, what an evil guy, man. This guy is bad. Abe lives with his wife and four children in Illinois. Even worse, he's got children. That's not good for the earth. The eugenicists, as we covered earlier, says the World Wildlife Fund says make everybody poor for the earth, except the globalists that get your carbon tax money. He has a new book out called No Spy, No Fly, and it's so powerful, we decided to carry it. I should add InfoWars.com, InfoWarsShop.com. That also supports us and the work he's doing. And this is where his book comes in. No Spy, No Fly, just like No Fly, No Gun Buy, is the life story of a United States Marine veteran who was placed on a no-fly list as leverage to become an undercover informant for the FBI. This is what we keep hearing from people. they come to your house or call you and they go, oh, guess what? And there's our guest on the cover of the local paper there in his area. Guess what? You're going to start spying on people for us or you're not going to fly. And in the future, they're just going to turn your credit cards off and your bank account. I've seen TSA on C-SPAN a decade ago brag this was their plan. I mean, this is the takeover force, ladies and gentlemen, breaking the law, states' rights, you name it, operating outside their jurisdiction, groping people. And remember, Texas unanimously passed a bill in the House saying they were going to outlaw what they were doing that was already illegal. And the feds said, we're going to have a military blockade, an air blockade with F-16s of Texas. Why didn't we call their bluff? I mean, that's how the Civil War started. This is getting crazy. In a chilling detail, Abe explains how the FBI and other government agencies are really using their expanded powers, unconstitutional powers, since they staged 9/11, I would add. You will find yourself laughing, crying, and getting angry all at the same time when you read Abe's story. So hang on to your hat and get ready for the ride. Again, no spy, no fly. This is a true life story of a United States Marine veteran who was placed on the no-fly list as leverage to become an undercover FBI informant. And just incredible. We've got the articles here. It's Wall Street Journal, no-fly list, claims harassment, case of Marine on no-fly list, isolated. That's what NBC is saying. Feds suspiciously banned veteran from flying. That's WLS. Got another one here out of the Mark News. Is the no-fly list a blackmail tool? Yeah, it's an enemies list. Nixon just had people's files illegally from the IRS and stuff. Now they say Homeland Security gets access to citizens and share it. I mean, this is a criminal group, but enough of my ranting. It's all in the book, No Spy, No Fly. I want to turn to Abe Mashal to tell us how this all began and break down these frightening developments. Extrajudicial, just like NDAA, saying they'll disappear you. Now, is cave dwellers the threat? You scared of them, or you scared of government that says it'll disappear you into a torture dungeon and is on record raping kids in front of their parents at Abu Ghraib Army Report? You worried about that, or are you worried about the scary CIA man Bin Laden? Abe, good to have you on with us. You're very evil. I'm glad you're on the no-fly list. Tell us how this all began. I guess they want to stop you actually getting wounded veterans, dogs to assist them. This is, I can't think of anything more evil.
Well, thanks for having me, Alex. I appreciate you guys reaching out to me and getting me on the show and everything. It all began back in April of 2010. I was flying out to Spokane, Washington to train a dog out there. I'm a traveling dog trainer. And I'd never had trouble flying my entire life. I'd flown all over vacations with the family business. I've never even pulled aside for additional security all these years. And that night prior to me flying in April 2010, I attempted to print my boarding pass from the house, and I couldn't. So I called Southwest Airlines. I said, hey, you know, I can't print my boarding pass. You know, normally I can do that. They told me, you know, there must be a problem, so check in the morning with the ticket counter. So anyways, next morning I went to the ticket counter. I went to check in. The lady took my license. This was at Midway Airport in Chicago. And she kind of gave me a strange look. And then she went in the back room with my driver's license. So I was a little shocked by that. I had my Marine Corps shirt on, Marine Corps bag. So, you know, she was kind of looking at me funny. About 5 minutes later, she came back out from the room. And I turned around and I was surrounded by over 30 TSA and Chicago police. So I was very shocked by this. And then she said, sir, you're on the no-fly list. You won't be able to fly any commercial aircraft, you know, until you're off of this list. And by the way, the FBI is on their way to the airport because they'd like to speak with you. So obviously this was a major shock. You know, I kind of expected Ashton Kutcher to jump out and tell me I was being punked. I mean, this was insane.
And again, they're implying you're a terrorist. I mean, it's all part of this fake hysteria for the officers. Yeah, we saw one today. Evil Marine.
And, you know, it's all, you know, I'm a strong guy and everything. I'm not intimidated easily, but when you're surrounded like that, you know, it was very embarrassing all at the same time. But the FBI came there several minutes later, came up to me, asked if I would mind going in back to answer a few questions. And, you know, I said fine because I thought it was just some mistake that was going to get cleared up quickly. When we went in back, they just started asking questions about me that weren't quite invasive yet, but they were getting a little bit invasive. You know, what's my name, date of birth, social security number? You know, what was I doing going to school?
And they know full well who you are. This is all theater to make you believe you're bad. I mean, this is criminal, what's happening to you.
Well, you know, and I thought it was just some big mistake because I was ignorant to how things really were back then. But So he went through his questions for about 15 minutes, and then he said, you know what, you're free to go. I said, now, wait a minute. I have a few questions for you. How did I get on the no-fly list, and how do I get off of the list? And he kind of laughed at me, and he said, listen, even if I knew why you were put on the list, I wouldn't be able to tell you. And then he said, there's really no way off of the list, but you can fill out a redress form on the Department of Homeland Security's website.
Now, let's stop right there. That's right out of Kafka or 1984. Don't know why you're on the list, can't get off of it, and it's funny to him. And soon it's not going to be able to have a car, have a job. They said this is the plan. No judge, no jury. Then you're homeless. Then they say in the future when there's a huge homeless population, this is actually Army documents. You may not have seen this yet. The Army confirmed them. You're going to be sent to a re-education camp. I'm not, and it says forced labor. So see, once you're not going to be able to work in the future, I'm not joking, then you'll just be taken to the re-education camp. But come on, they're just making sure you're a good person there too. I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, no problem. And, you know, that was shocking to me that he said that, because it certainly didn't feel like this was the America I learned all about. Anyways, I went home that day, and my wife picked me up. We were both pretty traumatized by the whole experience. I went home, and I filled out the DHS trip form when I got back, the redress form. Several hours later, my phone rings, and it's two additional FBI agents who basically tell me just like this, Abe, we're 3.2 miles from your house. Are you home? And I was like, yeah. And he said, well, would you mind if we stopped by?
And by the way, this is all part of the theater. Shock you, have them surround you. They do it every day at every major airport, we've confirmed. Then come to your house, act like good cops. Hey, we'll get you off. Prove you're good. No judge, no jury. Honorably discharged, helping veterans group. They probably know you're a good guy. That's why they want to turn you. They've targeted you. They're going to turn you into a perp. They might have even set you up and said Marine terrorist, because that's their new story, is that Marines and Army are going to be the new terrorist. I'm sorry. I'm just an expert in this area. So they're 3.2 miles. Can they come over and play good cop? Please continue.
Yes. And it's kind of funny you said that, because that was something my wife said that day. One of them kind of played the good cop, and one of them played the bad cop. But they came in, and they came up, and the strangest thing happened, Alex. They actually pulled out a do not fly question and answer sheet, like a cheat sheet. You know, and I have kids, and it just seems strange to me that FBI agents were working off of a cheat sheet. I've never seen anything like it in my life. You think federal agents, you think, you know, these guys wouldn't need cheat sheets, but they actually went through this cheat sheet and answered all the questions. You know, asked me them, and this was much more invasive. Who was my father? Who are my cousins? Where's my bank accounts? Do I have a Twitter? Do I have a MySpace? Do I have a Facebook account? And then once, you know, they find out you're Muslim, forget about it. That's when the real questions come out. Then the worst part about...
And by the way, they knew, because I guess your wife's Christian, you're Muslim. They knew that. This is all part of discovering how bad you are. I mean, this is pure secret police who've put you on an extrajudicial list to ban your travel criminally, acting like you're the criminal. I mean, this is 180 degrees from America. I'm sorry, just making me so mad. Continue.
Yep, it made me very upset too. But yeah, they came up and they did that question and answer sheet. And then when I said I was a Marine, they pulled out an additional sheet, which really was a kick in the groin for me because, you know, I was a United States Marine. I didn't train in some other country. I was defending this country for 4 years active. And so, you know, they first thing they said, well, were you trained with explosives in the Marine Corps? I said, no, I wasn't. But it just, you know, that made me mad. So anyways, they did their questions and then they left. It took about an hour and 15 minutes. Like I said, this was a much more invasive interview. And I didn't hear anything till the next day, which is the next day my client from Spokane called me and told me that the FBI had been to their house to verify my story, which really upset me because this lady's never met me. And now she's meeting the FBI before she meets me. So, of course, she wants a refund. They scared the heck out of me.
No, now they're killing your business, which is what they always do. So the but I would have said, hey, why are you hiring 10,000 Al-Qaeda and shipping them into Libya? Here's the LA Times. Why do you run Al-Qaeda? Why did you ship Al-Qaeda into Syria? Why did you get the underwear bomber on the plane two Christmases ago? Here's the Detroit Free Press. Here's Kurt Haskell on the Alex Jones Show. Why are you terrorists? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I seen Kurt Haskell. That was shocking. I seen him on your show not long ago. But yeah, basically, I was really upset by that. So I called the FBI back and I talked to the agent. I said, listen, you guys are screwing my business up. This is unacceptable. I've worked really hard on my business the last 9 years. It's successful. He apologized. He says there was nothing they could do and he was sorry. And then I didn't hear anything for 2 months, Alex. So that was in April 2010. In June 2010, finally, I get a phone call. And it's those two agents that came to my house that day, and they tell me they have great news. And I said, okay, what is it? I'm off the no-fly list. And he says, well, we'd like to meet with you to discuss it. I said, well, let's just talk about it over the phone. I don't want to waste your time. You don't want to waste mine. He says, well, we have to meet, you know, face-to-face to go through everything with you. That way we ensure that we answer all of your questions.
I'm going to stop you again. This is the end of America. This is 100% pure evil. This is the new model. You're not going to have a job, a car, fly, a life, unless you become a secret police spy. We're about to get to this, but I want viewers out there to understand something. My heart is beating right now fast. This doesn't ever happen on air. Okay, because I know this is coming for all of us. This has been the plan in every authoritarian society. This is a Marine, a father, no criminal record. He develops service dogs and gives them to troops who've been injured when the Pentagon treats them like crap and steals their death benefits if they get killed. That's all on record. Okay? And they want him to be an infiltrator for them. So instead of just coming to the Marine and going, man, he's perfect for us, he'll get into their groups. No, instead they want to make him a perp in case they ever need to flush him. But this is how the setups work. And they go to people's lawyers and say, you're going to set your client up or we're going to ruin your life. I mean, this is criminal. And this is what's going on. And this is going to happen to everybody. They do it to a unpopular minority first, whether it's the kulaks in Ukraine or Russia or whether it's Muslims in the U.S. But the target is you. Notice they're already shifting from Al-Qaeda as the big enemy to the good old boy conservatives and libertarians. So understand, this is going to happen to all of you out there who have a love affair with hating Muslims. I know it's fun to hate Muslims, but they were just beta testing on them. Now, I'm going to shut up, recap, and then bring it through. I'm going to give you the floor. This is just too incredible, but I want to just add here what's really happening. Please continue.
Sure, and so I told him, you know, fine, what do you want to do? You want to come over? Let's get this over with. He says, well, we don't want to come all the way out to your residence. You live 40 miles west of the city. Could you meet us halfway? I said, okay, where do you want to meet? So they wanted me to meet at the Embassy Suites Hotel at a town in between me and the city. And he says, you know, we'll sit down in the lounge, we'll buy you a few drinks, we'll get you something to eat, we'll answer all your questions. So I'm thinking halfway in my head, Alex, I'm thinking, okay, they're kissing my butt a little bit. They know they screwed that client up for me. Maybe this is the way to apologize.
This is all scripted, sir. They do this all day to people.
Yeah, I know.
They ruin your business for 2 months. They let you marinate. It's all scientifically written by psych warfare chiefs. These are just monkeys that read off a script to you. I want you to understand that.
Sure. And so,
in fact,
so
the monkeys are watching right now and going, well, we never even realized all that. You work for foreign banks, bankers. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I said, okay. So we set up a date and time to meet at the hotel. When I got there, I was under the impression we were going to meet down in the lobby area. But when I got down there, they weren't there. So I called the agent's cell phone and I said, you know, where are you guys at? And he says, I'll be right down. I'm like, okay. So he's already in the hotel. He came down and then when I met with him, he says, would you mind coming up to the fourth floor with me? So now here's the huge twist that I wasn't expecting. And, you know, I was a little bit uncomfortable doing, but I knew that I had to do it because, I mean, how else am I going to finish this whole thing? And I was interested to see what they really wanted out of me as well. So I said, okay, fine. So we went up to this fourth floor private room. And when I walked in, the other agent was already sitting in there. They had the TV going and they had some coffee and donuts. It felt like a stakeout. And, you know, they sat me down. They said, we have really good news for you. We can get you off of the no-fly list, but you'd have to agree to become undercover informant for us and tell us about various people at various mosques in the area. So I said, well, would this be an FBI position? And he said, no. And I said, is this going to be an independent contractor position? And he said, no. He said, this would be a secret position. You couldn't even tell your wife about it, and we would be paying you cash that you would never have to claim to the IRS. So as soon as he said that, I was like, you know what, guys? I'm not comfortable sitting here having this conversation without a lawyer present. As soon as I said lawyer, they forced me to leave. So I got in my car, started calling my wife and family up, explaining to them the shock. It was like a CSI episode or something. And then I went home, Googled the no-fly list, and saw that the ACLU had some experience with it. Because, I mean, who do you even hire, Alex, for a lawyer for something like this? It's just not something you hear about people dealing with.
Oh, and they'll lie. They'll say they never even met with you.
Right. Well, so they messed up there because they actually texted me on my phone that night saying that they were sorry the meeting ended so abruptly. When could we meet again?
God, these people are sick.
So anyways, I called the ACLU. They flew one of the lead attorneys on this no-fly case up to meet with me. I explained to her my entire story, and they added me to the lawsuit. So what happened next was I really didn't hear anything. The FBI called me one additional time. I told them that I'd hired the ACLU, and they were really upset by that. I guess the ACLU and the FBI are, you know, they don't really mix together too well.
Well, let's expand on that. They're putting members of Congress on this now And the Congress, I mean, that's the government. That's the elected representatives. Congress is more powerful than the president, the courts, you name it. It's not just co-equal. They actually have more power because it's more representative. If you actually read what the founders said and what the courts have ruled. And then 100 years ago, they started saying, well, actually, they're co-equal. And now they say Congress has no power. The president rules the earth. But the point here is some FBI guys are actually good. You know, they're out by bank robbery, stuff like that. But these political ones that are involved in the spying and stuff, they do this illegal stuff all day long. The feds are now taking DNA from school kids nationwide and telling people, don't tell your parents. It's totally illegal. So that's why I get so mad, is that this can happen to any of us. And I have total empathy for you. They're trying to ruin your life doing all of this and, you know, realizing that the TSA is so criminal on every level. But I'm sorry, please continue.
Okay, so what happened next was I didn't hear anything for a while. And then in August, so that was a few months after June, my friend, who's actually a federal agent with the State Department, not part of the Department of Justice, called me up. And he told me that those two FBI agents had met with them in Washington, because that's where he was stationed, and told him to tell me to get rid of my ACLU lawyers if I ever wanted to get off the no-fly list. So I really was mad about this, because now my good friend they're using to talk to me without a lawyer. Once you say lawyer, they're not supposed to talk to you without a lawyer. So they went and told him I needed to get rid of the ACLU and talk with them and meet with them again if I ever wanted to get off the no-fly list.
This is so illegal. They're saying you don't stand up for your rights or you'll never get off that list. I mean, it's insane.
It is. And so, I mean, I called my lawyer up right away and, you know, she was shocked, but she wasn't shocked because she hears this stuff all the time. That's what she deals with. And so then we didn't hear anything for a few more months. And then the case was due to go to court in November 2010. And about a week before the case went to court, all of a sudden the FBI starts showing up at all my friends' houses just out of the blue and just asking questions about me. Well, what do you think of Abe? Has Abe ever done anything unethical or illegal? And they were just like, no, Abe's a great guy. You know, I've never had trouble with him. He's not an extremist in any way. And,
they'll have a criminal say they sold you drugs and put you in jail. They don't care. That's what's so scary about these people.
Well, yeah. And they even went to my father-in-law's house. You know, I've been married to his daughter at the time for 10 years and had three grandchildren at the time with her. And, you know, what do they expect him to say negative about me? Their whole investigation made absolutely no sense.
Well, except it was harassment.
It was, and it was embarrassing, you know, and so what happened next was, you know, I called the ACLU up, let them know that they were running around meeting with my friends, and we figured it out. I mean, the case was going to court in a week, and they had absolutely no investigation about me, and just in case the judges asked, hey, you know, what do you guys have against this guy, they had to be able to say something. That's what we thought.
Well, they want to say, we've done a deep investigation, sir, we can't give it to you, it's national security.
Right. So, after that, you know, they did their best to stall the case. They actually told, they were successful in one way where they told the ACLU, the judges agreed that they filed the case in the wrong jurisdiction, that you can only sue the TSA in certain courts, and the ACLU filed it in the 9th district. So that was what happened, last Friday was we finally had oral arguments to appeal that decision, and they went really well. But you know, Alex, how it goes. I mean, these federal judges, it can go either way. To me, it's an open shut case. You know what I mean? But
a secret police system has put a man with an innocent person with no convictions, an honorably discharged Marine, on a list where you can't do your business. This is the height of pure tyranny. I mean, this is the essence of a fascistic sicko state. What, these FBI guys want to live in a country where their kids grow up? Don't they know that when you knock the law down, you knock down your freedoms?
Yes.
I mean, don't they know they're digging their own grave politically? Don't they understand? Oh my God, this country is in so much trouble.
Yeah, it was a big shock for me as well, you know. And you know, you lose a lot of respect for the things you didn't know. I was just ignorant to a lot of the things.
I was about to say, you say it's embarrassing for you, brother. Everybody's learning about how corrupt this government is. The ATF, the FBI, all of them. They're the ones that are losing all respect. They're the ones. Everybody's learning about this.
And that's what I've done. I mean, that's why I wrote the book and everything else. And I've done a lot of college appearances locally. Obviously, I can't fly anywhere. And I've done my best and done my best to kind of awaken people. A lot of people are shocked by it, you know, and I hope it does wake everybody up so that maybe we can actually do something about it.
Well, we got to beat this now before it goes to everything, because I learned so much 10 years ago watching C-SPAN. Tom Ridge didn't even have the cabinet position yet. It hadn't been voted by Congress. But Homeland Security was set up, and I watched 2 hours They had a big square of tables. We got to dig this up on C-SPAN archives. And they had all these corporate CEOs there, and it was the plan for no fly list, no gun buy list. You're going to have TSA approval to have a job. Now that's coming into many areas. And it was like, my God, I've seen all this in Nazi Germany. This was the Soviet Russia. This was East Germany. This is every authoritarian state. Internal checkpoints, passports to have jobs. Now the IRS is trying to pass a law where no judge, no jury. If you haven't paid what they say, you can't leave the country. They revoke your passport. I mean, my God, this is just hardcore. And I've learned about all these people on death row and stuff, where it turns out the prosecutors know they're innocent and even know who killed the people. And it's even like dads with no criminal records. And it comes out that they like sending innocent people to prison. I mean, it's like demons infest government. I don't know what to say about it.
I'm going through it. You know, it's been bad for me, and it's taken a big toll on my family. You know, we drove to Disney World last February with a newborn and three children, 1,300 miles. You know, it takes time off your vacations. It takes us 3 days to get there, 3 days to get back, instead of just getting on a plane for 2 hours and having a good vacation. It's very stressful, and, you know, it's just a major problem for me that there really doesn't seem to be an easy way out of this whole thing. And even with the court case, you know, it's been 2 years and nothing has happened. And, you know, I listened to the case on Friday because they let you listen to it through the Ninth District. And I was really shocked because the federal judges, they didn't seem to know too much about the no-fly list and how it works. And it just doesn't make sense. How are they passing all these things then? And how is it legal to have these lists, you know, and they don't really know too much about it. And I was just shocked by some of the things I heard during the hearing.
Well, let me expand on that because this is very important. You know, in criminology, when you're dealing with criminals, sometimes they haven't lost their soul completely. It's all about the power trip, the peer pressure. But when somebody's kidnapped a child or done something, the parents will go on air and say, this is my name. You know, little Jenny has a brother. He's very sad. You know, her grandmother, grandparents love her. Please bring her back. Please let her go. She's a human. Would you like to look at the camera? Because the FBI will watch this. Would you like to explain to them you're a human, what they've done to you? I mean, some of them will actually enjoy it. But for others out there who may not want to lose their souls completely, because they all know they did 9/11 so they could take over, why don't you talk to them right now? You know, this is the same FBI that found two passports in the rubble that day that survived. Anybody believes that? Not just that they would survive, but they'd be found. Look at them. The head guy they used to whitewash all that, they just set up, the big FBI guy, by the way. They just put some child porn on his computer. That's how they work. But so they're pretty darn evil at the level that you're dealing with them. But to other FBI who haven't totally turned themselves over to evil, go ahead and speak to them. What would you like to say to them?
Well, just like I said at the last parts of my book, basically do the right thing. You know, you should have some type of conscience. Know that one day you're going to be judged before God, and you're going to have to answer for these things. You know, no matter what your religion is, most religions believe in a God. And, you know, what do you think he's going to say to you when you tell him that you oppressed somebody like you did to me? You know, do the right thing. You know, if you can do the right thing and change the way things work, you're going to make the country the way it should have been in the first place anyways. So, I mean, that's what I would tell them. Just do the right thing. Come forward. Get rid of these stupid watch lists. They make no sense. They cost billions of dollars. And, you know, hopefully we could have this country back one day.
Abe, you're not thinking like they are. It makes perfect sense. The drug war, they say, doesn't make sense. Triple the heroin, triple the cocaine, prison population from 500,000 in 1976 to now 7.2 million in 2012, giant banks laundering hundreds of billions a year, corrupting the police. They took over. The British took over China because China had opium illegal, and the British over 50 years used it to take over because they could control organized crime. It makes perfect sense that they're God and can put whoever they want on a no-fly list and then tell you to commit crimes against people, against their rights, or your life doesn't come back. It makes perfect sense, Abe. It's working well. They're taking over. 9/11 worked well for them. I mean, you say you're waking up, but to the victims out there, you got to fully wake up. You see what I'm saying?
I understand. You know, it's it is. It's incredible that this is happening. And the worst part about it is the longer I've been on this, the more stories I'm hearing very similar to mine. I mean, even my case has 14 other plaintiffs, several of them veterans, almost all of us offered informant positions. So you have to think that they put you on this list you know, specifically as leverage to make you do what they want you to do.
Abe Maschel, you're a human being, and I empathize with you and everybody else, and I know this is going to come down on my family, too. I mean, this is such incredible evil, and I don't know how you've dealt with it. I mean, I would be picketing outside their offices every day. I would be suing them personally. I know they claim they have immunity. I would be just absolutely off the hook. This is just, these people are such authoritarians. It's such a sick joke. Have you ever had a chance to run into them personally again? I mean, they are assaulting your life, your name, everything, and they think it's funny.
No, I haven't. I mean, you know, obviously anything moving forward that I say to them, you know, might not be in my best interest. My lawyers have even told me, you know, just not, you know, if they ever call me or anything, you know, put the calls to them. But yeah, it's been infuriating for me. And, you know, it's difficult. You know, it's just constantly sitting over my head these last few years. It doesn't go away. And I feel sorry for anybody who maybe isn't as strong as I have been through this whole process. You know, because it could definitely take a toll. It's depressing, you know, and it's, you know, it makes you angry all at the same time. It's just unbelievable.
Well, they go to people's lawyers. Have you seen those cases and say, spy on your client and set them up? Well, that's totally illegal. I mean, in so many ways, Constitution, you name it, or we're not going to let you fly. These are prestigious people and they can't fly.
Well, I had the opportunity on actually yesterday because I was on another talk show in L.A., and they had the former DHS director under the Bush administration on the show with me. And, you know, he started talking about how our Constitution allows secret things to happen and this and that, which I totally disagreed with him on. But I did have the opportunity to tell him that he acts like a Nazi Gestapo, which he didn't like. But, you know, that's been as close as I've been able to come to somebody who was used to be in power that actually had some type of effect. But like you said, they don't think that these lists are illegal in any way. They have all these crazy justifications how, you know, the secrets are allowed to happen. We don't need to know anything. Only they have the right to know anything. And you know, it's that part really frustrated me.
You can't extrajudicially tell somebody that the government comes and seizes transportation and says you can't fly. But they do it with planes because people think of that as like magic and special. They're now running checkpoints on the highways. They're saying you're not going to let you have a job anywhere if they don't say it's okay. I mean, this is just so dangerous.
Yes. My mother-in-law was recently pulled aside. She lives up in North Dakota, and she was pulled aside to go on the Amtrak up there with one of those Viper teams. She never even heard of them, and they went through all of her stuff, and they told her she couldn't go unless they did.
Yeah, that's TSA as well. No, they're everywhere now. And it's just totally criminal what's happening to us. Well, I hope people get the book and get it out to folks because we're going to have to confront this evil. And even though there's a lot of sellouts in the media and the power structure, people, it's time to recognize pure corruption for what it is. This is a huge danger to everyone. And they're even trying to put capital controls in where you can't get out of the country now. They're really trying to set up a full-bore tyranny. When you were in the Marine Corps, did you ever, I mean, you were kind of implying you were naive before.
Yeah, I didn't really, you know, I was in from 99 till 03, and, you know, I was stationed at one base. I never went overseas, but I didn't, you know, I never had any issues there. You know, I don't know what the deal was. You know, I never had any problems while I was in the Marine Corps. And it's not until I got out, obviously, that all this stuff happened.
Why do you think they chose you to try to be an informant? Because, I mean, your wife's Christian, correct? And, break down why you think they might have profiled you.
I think what they've done, I mean, this is all speculation on my part, but it's educated speculation because I've done a lot of research, talked to a lot of different people, is I think they've pulled the military discharge papers of all Muslims. And I think they can just justify throwing you on those lists, and they know that a majority of them are probably going to do what they want to get off of the list. They probably know that. And I think when they came over that day that I found out I was on the list and they used those question and answer sheets, that's exactly what they were doing. They were recruiting. They were figuring out everything about me. Maybe they already knew everything about me, but they were figuring it all out, and they were seeing, is this guy going to be a good fit? But at the same time, I mean, they weren't very smart about it because, I mean, I own two businesses. I got a wife and four children. I mean, I can't be out there moonlighting as a double agent or whatever they wanted me to be. It just makes absolutely no sense. But I think that's what they're doing. They're using the list as leverage. And, you know,
yeah, you've got a life. You're also helping get dogs for disabled vets. You've got a passion.
I do. And, you know, that's the thing. They don't care about any of that. Trust me. They don't care about your clients, your welfare, nothing. And if they did, they wouldn't have done half the stuff they've done to me already.
Well, look, we've had the FBI try to threaten people and get them to say stuff about me. And, I mean, literally, all I do is speed. And I don't even do that very often. I got caught speeding last week. Pretty bad, too. But the point is, the point is that I'm ready for it. I'm ready for them to make up the worst stuff imaginable. That's their problem. They put me in prison, kill me, set me up. That's on them, because I know there is a God. And but it does even freak me out. I've been fighting this for 17 years to really realize the depths of the evil. I was trying to build a disabled veteran a house, because listeners were like, well, they want to bulldoze his house. We stopped the bulldozers. They wanted to steal it in a land grab. They said, well, we're not going to let you repair his house. We'll arrest you. So my listener said, let's build him one. And they had undercover cops in there going, let's kill cops and stuff. And I'd walk out in the parking lot, and there'd be an unmarked cop car. I'm like, man, why would you do that? You just don't want us to even get the community together. I mean, that's how they think. Like, you're trying to build a veteran a house. You must be bad. I mean, it's so warped, and they hire just these really weird, sick people who just enjoy messing with people. I just, it's hard to believe they can find that many evil people. And the thing is, they can never get enough of it. I mean, they're like a rat-eating, you know, dog crap or something. They're so happy. I mean, you just wouldn't even believe it. And I'm like, why are you into this? And it's just like, I guess I'm just not evil. I just don't get the type of people they are. It's disgusting.
Well, I've seen on the TV that the one federal agent in California, they're looking for him because he was depressed and he was a counterterrorism guy. I bet you they're all depressed. I mean, you know, he ran off into the woods. They can't find him. And, you know, how do you live like that? I don't know. I don't know how you could go to sleep at night and live that way and live your life screwing people over and messing everything up for them.
Well, meanwhile, if there was a real Muslim threat in this country that wasn't completely manufactured, I'd be the first one to say go after people. But I'm sorry. It's as phony as a $3 bill.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I told them the same thing. I said, you know, I'd be the first guy on the plane if you see somebody acting stupid to take them, you know, to restrain them and take them down. You know, you're right. It just doesn't make sense. It's, you know, and I've seen all this stuff on TV, and I listened to your show about all these different things they've been busting that have all been fabricated. And it just, you know, I think people are waking up to it, though, because even the one recently with the thing in Yemen with this underwear bomb and everything else, they found out he was a CIA agent.
They spun it and said, daring double agent.
Yeah, and that was within a day of itself. Even I caught that. I don't know how people who aren't into this stuff, don't know about this stuff, can't see that. So hopefully they are.
Well, exactly. I mean, I am the first person who will stand up for my country and against anybody. And that's why I see these mega banks running our country. They've got the government people all armed to the teeth. Listen, I went to the beach last weekend for Mother's Day. My mother wanted to go down to the National Seashore and stand her pop-up. And I've been down there dozens of times since I was a little kid. You know, it's a federal seashore. And they just were harassing everybody. And coming up, and I thought it was just me, and then I noticed they were doing it to the other cars out there on the beach, and they were like saying, don't steal sea turtles, watch out in the dunes, and like assessing and asking my parents like 20 questions. And finally I just jumped up and started yelling at them like the third time it happened. I'm like, is this America? What the hell is going on here? I mean, they just want to treat us all like we're crap, and I'm tired of it. I mean, at a certain point I was like, because I just was sitting there and my kids are digging in the sand, I'm just like, man, I what happened to my country? I mean, what's it going to be like in a year down there? I was down there 2 years ago, and there was none of this. 20 years ago, one park ranger would go by once a day, and there was the same amount of people out there. And they're harassing. Listen, they have the Coast Guard in Port Aransas, which is just a state beach, you know, town beach, like it should be. And I used to take my kids fishing. And now, when the fishermen, even in the bay, see the Coast Guard or Homeland Security boats, they go, you've got to stop, or they get mad. Even if they're 500 yards away, it's a respect you've got to show them, or they tear your boat apart. I mean, that's like Mexico isn't that bad, where the police make you kiss their butts. And I'm like, well, I can't even go fishing now, because they stop the boat and go, oh, oh. And then a year later, I went on another boat ride in another area, and they were all scared of them. And I talked to them at the local fishing places where you meet the guides, and they're like, yeah, the Coast Guard waits out there, and if the fish is a half inch shorter than it should be, they arrest you. And I don't know why the Coast Guard's doing that now, and there's Homeland Security, and they get in our faces, and they're mean to us. I mean, used to, they were nice. And it's like they're Anyways, I'm ranting, and that's how these conversations are. They're two-sided. We don't just sit here and drone on. It's just it's freaking me out as we get deeper into bondage how demoralizing and sickening and saddening and painful it is. Because I've been to a lot of third-world countries, and I've never seen anything like this country. I mean, we're really bad. We're really sick. We need to admit we've become disgusting.
Well, the worst part about the whole thing, Alex, too, is the day of the airport. Here you got a guy that's supposedly on the no-fly list. They don't even check my bags. They didn't check my bags. They let me go. They questioned me 15 minutes, didn't look at my bags, nothing.
They knew it was a setup is why. They know the drill. They all think they're in on it because they know, yeah, they're going to turn that guy. He must be a good guy. They want him. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I felt like saying, you guys want to go through my stuff? I mean, this is ridiculous. You got a guy on the no-fly list. You just let him go. And then, if these no-fly list people are so dangerous, then how come I can go to the George Strait concert with my wife? I can go to Disneyland with a million people around me with my kids.
You won't be able to soon, sir. They're going to have databases everywhere. You're not.
I know. And that's the worst part. It's only going to get worse and it's scarier. But that's what I mean for right now, though. It's like that's how you know the whole thing is a complete joke.
Listen. My wife went for a jog because you know, we left. We left the National Seashore, went and got they call them condos, but they're a hotel room, little four-story, you know, place we set up. So it's a little bitty old four-story condominium thing. There's a pool down there in the lake, in the ocean. My wife goes for a run. I'm cooking breakfast for the kids. She gets back at about 10. And I go, okay, I'm going to go for my jog now. And she goes, my God, we just left camping out to get away from it. She's all clean cut, everything, you know, nice jogging outfit. And she's coming up the boardwalk. And comes through and is spraying her feet off, you know, her tennis shoes. And a guy walks out, a security guard, and says, oh, I don't need to see your room key. You don't look like a security risk. And it was just some excuse for some security guard. And no one's even around there to just come up and kind of hit on my wife a little bit. You know, I mean, it's this. That's what tyrannies are, though. You empower all this scum. Normal people wouldn't want to walk up to some woman on a boardwalk with no one around and say, you don't look like a security risk. I guess I don't have to see your key. And she's just like, what? I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's so bad.
It is. It does sound bad.
Well, and you know, she made the point. She said security risk from all these shows is like the new nomenclature in America. It's like land of the coward, home of the paranoid slave.
Well, maybe Jesse Ventura got it right. He went to Mexico.
As bad as it is down there, no one would ever try to grope your wife. At least the police wouldn't. Listen, I've been ranting here. You got 5 minutes here. You've got the floor. The book is No Spy, No Fly. I think we've covered most of the bases. People should get the book at Infowars.com. And plus, they should buy it and support you as well, you know, Infowars.com. I mean, how bad does this hurt you financially? And then and what has this done to your family? Let's talk about your kids. Let's talk about your wife. Let's humanize this for these psychos in case they have any humanity left. And then you got 5 minutes. You've got the floor to make any other points you want to make.
Sure. The thing about the wife and kids is a very good point because, you know, my one son's old enough to kind of figure things out. He's 11. He was 9 at the time when it happened. And he's confused, you know, he's asking me, Dad, are you a bad guy? Why are they interested in you? And, you know, you got to sit there and explain to your own kids that you're not a bad guy. And, you know, they know that you're not, but, you know, they still ask. My wife's really upset. We missed a ton of things. You know, my sister-in-law went to a missionary trip and we were going to fly out to Hawaii when she graduated. And we couldn't do that. We couldn't, on our 10th anniversary, me and my wife couldn't fly to Vegas. We were going to go to Vegas. You know, we couldn't do that. I mean, it's not feasible to drive 2,000 miles from Chicago, you know, to do our anniversary. It's just not feasible. And so those things have hurt. From a personal perspective, that's been a big pain in the butt. Financially, definitely it's hurt. You know, who knows the thousands of dollars I've lost because of this. I mean, I had dozens of clients that were contacting me from out of state that were willing to fly me out like I always had. And now you can't do that. And, you know, I paid for advertising for 1 year on some things that I never got anything back from because, you know, I'm advertising outside of the state of Illinois. So it does affect your business a lot. And personally, like I said, it really affects it. And the kids, you know, and people look at you different, Alex. You know, not everybody, but they wonder about you. And it's just crazy because, you know, not everybody knows the things you do. Not everybody knows the things I do. So when they hear about something like this, they look at you a little differently. Fortunately, a lot of my veteran friends and all my regular friends have been very supportive of me, you know, and so that's the good part about the whole thing. And people are learning from this book. I've done a lot of different book signings and whatnot. I've sat down with a lot of different people, answered a lot of questions. And that's what I hope the book does. You know, it's the book's not expensive. It's $9.95. I wasn't trying to make a killing on it. People should buy it. They should read it, figure things out, and hopefully petition and get this whole situation changed for everybody, not just me. You know, the important part about this court case is it's twofold. Yeah, we want to get off the no-fly list, but the other part of the court case is the government needs to change the way they have these lists. And so it's a very difficult case, but, you know, that's the part that I'm very supportive of, because hopefully we can prevent it from happening to anybody in the future. I know that's a lot easier said than done, but, the other part I want to say is I'm really shocked by my own government. You know, I'm a former Marine. You've said that already. And, the way they treat people is disgusting, and they should never be able to do those things. I said right on the show the other day, this government was formed for it to fear its citizens, not its citizens to fear them. And look what we have today. Everybody fears the government. I mean, who do you fear more? You fear the government more than you fear the terrorists, for crying out loud, these so-called terrorists. So, I wanted to say that, too. And I think that the FBI, the Department of Justice, they have their little slogans and sayings. Well, you know what? That's all it is, because you need to live up to those things. If you want some honor and courage and all that stuff, start living that way. It's not that difficult. I did it as a Marine. And, instead, they're acting more like Gestapo agents. And I've even seen some things online where this Patriot Act, and you compare it to like the Nazi stuff that happened with Hitler. There's no difference. It's the exact same words. It's like they copied it. So we need to abolish.
Oh, did you know the 68 Gun Control Act was actually the Weimar Republic Act? They only changed the names. The Senator Dodd, the senior, that's actually confirmed. I mean, it's amazing. Look at the black uniforms, all of it. It's so creepy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the other thing that people should know is that they do aim to intimidate you. That's what they want to do. And the good part is I'm not easily intimidated. But, think about it, Alex. There are people who are easily intimidated who maybe don't have a military background. And that's how what they're doing. They hook into these people and they make them, completely screw their entire lives up to do what they want for them.
They will knowingly bust somebody for something real or fake and tell them, go lie about this person or you're going to jail. And they will do whatever they're told. And people have to know that. The systems, in the past, I supported the death penalty because I believe in it. But when you have a criminal government, it can't carry it out because these people, they won't just set you up. They enjoy it. And I'm not just talking about the FBI. Some of these counties and states are even worse. I mean, it is the cases that have been confirmed where they sit around and laugh about innocent people going to the lethal injection chair. And it's not like they were even multiple time bad perps who've been convicted and they set up some guy. That's how they rationalize it in the old days. Now they just set up innocent people. It's like it's fun. I cannot imagine how much bad mojo they got coming at them. Because in my life, I just am tuned into the universe. I like to think, I know. But I've experienced when I do bad things, it's not just that I have a conscience. I know little bad things that, this is coming back on me. And I want to say that to the government minions out there and the corporate minions. You wonder why your life's so miserable and all you've got is your petty power trip. Because you haven't given in to good. You think evil is powerful. You think, it's just turn back now. If any of you've got any good left in you, turn back now.
I agree with that. And one thing I wanted to say too, Alex, if you could for me, I know you speak with Jesse Ventura a lot. Give him a copy of my book for me for free if you could. And, I want to tell you, too, that I'm a big supporter of Ron Paul. I know your website has a lot of Ron Paul stuff on it. And I think that's what we need going forward. We need a guy like him to get into office and put it back where it needs to be, because he's as close as we're going to get to the founding fathers. This Romney Obama stuff, what's the difference between the two? I don't see it. So,
well, you're right. And look, no country's ever gone past 220 years. We've gone 235. And we're rotten now. Bad guys have gotten in at every level. It's become acceptable. They've made tyranny and torture sexy. And they're robbing the country blind. The foreign banks that run this country are destroying it. I mean, they paid $22 billion with taxpayer money to ship General Motors to China, Brazil, and Eastern Europe. I mean, if that isn't tyranny and treachery and treason, I don't know what is. The people running this country know exactly what they're doing. And the teleprompter readers like Romney and all that, they're just window dressing. And to all the dumb minions of this system who think they're going to have fun, this is going to get very, very dark. And in every case in history, the crop of scum that brings the real tyranny in, they're going to be hung out to dry first. And I see them. They probably killed that FBI agent out in California. They set up the big head of their bomb forensic unit that covered up Oklahoma City in 9/11. They just set him up with a spoofed email. Absolutely. I mean, I know it was a setup because when they really do that stuff, they don't get in trouble. Actually, a lot of them are pervs. That's who they hire because they'll do anything. The fact that they burned him, we know it's a setup, whether it's real or not. Did you see that case of the top FBI guy with the child porn in his computer?
Yeah, I did. I seen that on your website.
Total setup.
Yeah, he was part of the Oklahoma City stuff. I did see that.
And again, it's a 100% setup. You understand what I'm saying? Because they can run child kidnapping rings and don't get in trouble. I have congressional hearings on that. They can do anything they want. The only time they burn them is when they get out of line. I wonder what he did.
Yeah, you got to wonder. Something happened.
Well, that's why they like to hire those type of people. And he sure looks like a perv. But, you know, again, who else would be involved in the cover-up of Oklahoma City? But, again, all of them should understand that. They're all expendable.
I agree. And, you know, that's why I knew when they offered me the informant position, that was something I would never do no matter what, because I've already heard the stories before going into that meeting, what happens, you know, with people like Sirhan and everything else. I've been in touch with that stuff.
Oh, exactly. That's the final point. I'm sorry. Make your point. I'll make mine.
I was going to say, you know, I know what they do to those types of people. You think you're doing something good for the country, but they twist that right around real quick.
Oh, no. This is the new branding is don't worry about Al-Qaeda. They're the good guys now fighting whoever we want them to, you know, give weapons to. Syria, Libya, on and on and on. Iran. Al-Qaeda's nice, friendly. You know, if you don't like them, you're a terrorist. But Al-Qaeda is also bad and working with former military, and Al-Qaeda is going to link up with the right-wing Christian militias. So see, I'm not sure about this, but Illinois is one of their prime zones. It's 50-50 that, and this would have been higher ups that would have done it, probably not even the guys you were involved with. They probably have a dragnet out to then tell you, now we want you to go in with these simulated explosives and see if the imam supports it. And then you go in, you meet the imam in a restaurant, they remote detonate, and then it's on the news, you guys suicide bombed. You understand how that works? We confirmed on 7/7 a SWAT was MI6, and they hired these school teachers, you know, pretty much Americanized or Englishized, you Muslims like you, married to a Christian lady, you know, going to Las Vegas, stuff like that, you know, might drink a beer or whatever. That's who they target. And these guys thought they were fighting Muslim extremists and were going to do a drill for the drill they had that day of the London Underground being bombed and that very bus. The exact trains, exact time, exact place, exact bus was the drill. A bunch of London cops freaked out, so they went public and said, oh, yeah, we ran a drill of the exact thing. But they brought those guys on. One group didn't show up and figured it out. They shot them all at Canary Wharf. That was even in the news. And whistleblowers went public and made a film. The Brits arrested the guy that made a film about it. So, I mean, my point is, they probably would have gotten you or others down the road, because, you know, a lot of people will jump at it, to think you're going in to bust a group. And then, again, they remote detonate and set you up.
I knew that, too. I mean, thank God I would never do it, but thank God I didn't. You know, it sounds like it just sounds horrible for what happens to everybody in the end.
But then those guys get to be on the news as the heroes that, you know, that either busted you planning to blow something up when they had you go out and do a setup, or they let it go forward.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've been following all that stuff since this has happened to me, and you know, it's not hard to see through. I don't know how people actually believe some of the stuff they say, but for me, it's very simple. Like you just explained it. It's, you know, it's all stuff they created, and then they say they busted the plot. Well, how do you, it's entrapment is what it is.
Yeah, but they lead them, and they find idiots to do it. Abe, just briefly, just because it's an interesting point, I'm going along here, but this interview is, you know, is going over, but it's very informative. Were you born into a Muslim family? Did you become Muslim because you're married to a Christian lady? I mean, how did that happen?
Well, my dad was Palestinian immigrant, and my mother is a Taylor Street Catholic. So, no, I grew up in a multi-religious household. You know, nobody was real religious, you know, but it's the same household I live in today. You know, my wife's a different religion than me. So, no, I wasn't born into it. It's just a decision I made later in my life to practice it, and, you know, that's how it went.
But my reason in bringing that up is I've seen the demographics. So many Muslims are just like Christians. You know, they're Christians because their family's Christian. And I'm not attacking your faith. I understand you made a decision that you knew would be under attack, so you believe it. My point is, is that, and it's all, you know, I mean, you know, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, if you go back to the roots, same God. The point is they try to sell this idea that every Muslim, when it might actually be one out of, a, you know, 100,000, and usually that's either some crazy person or whatever, or they're being set up, are the opposite of trying to blow things up or do things. I mean, I went to high school, had some Iraqi friends that I would just lift weights with, along with, you know, other folks, and they've just, I mean, I've run into them on the street today. They're just business people, American dream. And you know, they made jokes about after 9/11, people think they're at their house with like dynamite. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, tell folks what it's like to be an American Muslim.
It's difficult. I don't let any of my clients know. I mean, obviously this doesn't help when I go on TV and all that, you know, but I, you know, if I get new clients and stuff, I never talk to them about my personal stuff like that. Nobody by looking at me would tell that I'm Muslim in the first place. You know, a lot of people think I'm Hispanic or something like that, but it's very difficult. You're under a lot of scrutiny all the time. And, you know, people just automatically hate you. Like you said early in the show, it's fun to hate Muslims in America because that's what the government has bred. You know, they make it sound like all we want to do is run around and blow things up, which is not the case at all. You know, a lot of them are peace-loving people, and I got a lot of cousins and stuff that are Muslim. And so people, I hope that changes in America too, because, you know, there's not that many Muslims in America. But for the ones that are here, it's difficult to run around and practice that religion because you know that every mosque, Alex, is definitely under surveillance. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. When they offered me the position inside of the hotel room, they even told me that they already had several other informants at the mosque that I would attend on occasion. So there you go. I mean, they're telling you that they already know about things. You know what I mean? And they have people all over. So, you know, it's crazy. It's difficult to be an American Muslim. That's for sure.
Well, listen, it was any consolation. They're done beta testing on you, brother. They are moving on now. They're approaching the dentists, the doctors, the lawyers, offering them money to spy on all their patients, their clients. Hey, you'll get money. You're a secret agent. My dad's a dentist that got approached. And he started going to other dentists. They're like, oh, we got approached. We got approached at our home. They are creating a giant snitch army. And they've got them just in regular bars of good old boy bars. And the guys are on there talking about football. There's a paid snitch sitting there drinking their beer. And then you find out a lot of times it's to run narcotics and stuff. Look, it's a mafia. That's all this is. And this country's got cancer. Well, Abe, I want to thank you so much for joining us. The book is No Spy, No Fly by Abe Mashal. And, Abe, I really want to thank you for coming on this. I hope folks will get the book at Infowars.com and get a free citizen rule book when you do order at Infowars.com. And that's the Bill of Rights Constitution, more terrorist material. Have you seen the FEMA training videos that I was sent and I released where they say the founding fathers are bad?
No, I haven't seen those yet. I did buy the one about the Oklahoma City, though, which was crazy.
Oh, where the government staged that, very loving? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was very shocking. I watched that, and then I've seen some of the other stuff on there. I got all of Jesse Ventura's books, but those FEMA camps I seen on Jesse's show, which you can't even find anymore. You can't watch it online anymore. I don't know if they took it off YouTube or something, but that stuff's getting hard to get to.
Oh, the Homeland Security threatened people over that. I'm not even allowed to say what happened. I was told in confidence, and now I can't report it. But, you know, as a journalist, and I'm also somebody who gives my commentary, I really, it's hard to not tell people what I know. Just people knew how real this was. Okay, well, thank you so much for spending time with us, sir.
No problem, Alex. If you ever need anything in the future, just give us a call.
All right, thank you. I'm gonna end the show right here and say bye to you after the show. Well, you know, it's a hard subject to cover, and it's hard to go up against these criminals. These are murderers. These people that'll set you up in seconds flat. I wouldn't even be alive right now if it wasn't for your prayers. I wouldn't even be alive right now, my crew. We couldn't even do this without divine intervention and your support. This is so hardcore real. And again, I call it fun to hate Muslims because I've seen it with people and they just get into it. It's like, it's so fun. It's so scary. They're going to get us, you know, all this stuff. And I go, okay, do you know the different Muslim groups? Do you know their history? Do you know, about British intelligence infiltrating and taking over Saudi Arabia, founding it. Do you understand how they've used radical Muslims to keep the Middle East in the Dark Ages and how anytime Muslims try to develop a country and build it, which they're very good at doing, the system has the Muslim jihadis blow it up and take it over, like you're seeing part five of right now with Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria and other areas. Do you actually know the nuts and bolts? Do you know that the government created Al-Qaeda? Do you understand all this? Do you understand that they're going to use an unpopular minority to beta test this, and then they're going to roll it out against their real enemy? And let me tell you who that is. It's Christian, conservative, libertarian types. And all the documents are all out. I told you this 10 years ago. I told you this from Rand Corporation documents before 9/11. I told you they were going to blow up the World Trade Center and blame it on their asset, Bin Laden. I told you they'd roll out his dead body later. I told you everything. Okay, I know their number. Because once you understand their system, you're like, how did I never see that before? It's a pattern. They got playbooks. And the reason they had those FBI agents with a script is not that they're even supposedly dumb. They do not let them deviate one micron. That's what zero tolerance is about, where a kid brings a Luden's cough drop. It's not even a drug. It's candy to school, and they arrest them. It's about the teacher cannot make a decision. You can't make a decision. You got to do what the state says. It's about being programmed. And no due process. You can't have a job. You can't fly. You can't live. A lot of people say, well, Alex, this stuff's scary. In closing, I'll say this. You're scaring people. Look, I believe you have courage. I think when you hear the truth, you're going to make preparation for it. I know some will be scared by this info and say, oh, my God, I'll be put on a no-fly list if I protest. I better not do it. No, all of America will fall into total dark tyranny, hellish level of it, if we don't stand up and face this. You don't have a threat and a bully come at you and then bend over to them and they leave you alone. They start beating you up every day. You become what they call their bitch. Well, not me. It's called liberty or death. I'm an American patriot, 1776. My ancestors founded this country. It's my country. It's not your New World Order country, and you're not going to have it. And I declare victory over you. You will be defeated. We will restore the republic. We will defeat your divide and conquer, and your crimes will be exposed. It's that simple. I'm Alex Jones, signing off from the front lines of the info war. If you believe in what we're doing, subscribe at PrisonPlanet.tv so we can build this operation and be strong to defend liberty against all the attacks and storms that come. 15-day free trial right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Until tomorrow.